First reading, the Gospel reading, is from John 15, starting at verse 18. The world hates the disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 to 19. Suffering for being a Christian. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you and to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear my name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Claire. Morning, everyone. Morning, morning. For those of you joining us online as well. Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of those who wrote your words down. And we thank you particularly today for Peter and for all that he did. And we ask that you would guide us as we look at this passage now by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've come to yet another passage in Peter, in 1 Peter, that seems to be about suffering. And we've had a couple of them already, haven't we? Sorry about that. But it was obviously something that was really important for the people that Peter was writing to. And actually, if we look back, we know that they were persecuted for their faith. So it's inevitable in some ways that Peter was going to write to them about that. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we might not think much of or think much about suffering for being a Christian much in this country. But, do you know, it's on the rise. Little comments that people make to us or the fact that it's harder now to share your faith at work than it might have been even a few years ago. And I believe it's really important that we think carefully about how we live in response to that. And to do it now, rather than to ignore it, push it under the carpet, and just get on with everything. Rob reminded us about how hard it is for us to imagine the suffering that is going on around us. This week I read a Twitter thread from someone in Germany telling a story of a family from Ukraine moving into their flat in the middle of the night, and all they had with them was a little bag smaller than a laptop case and a cat in a basket. And that is all they had. Most of us cannot imagine or even begin to imagine what that must be like or what it must be like to have to flee for your life, to leave everything behind and to leave, to not know where your next bed will be or where your next meal will be. It's hard for us to imagine. And in some ways, it's equally hard for us to imagine the suffering that we hear about of those who are Christians in other countries, suffering because of their faith, suffering immense oppression simply for being a Christian. Some of them face imprisonment or even death. And if you've ever read books like The Heavenly Man or I Dare to Call You Father, or other biographies of Christians who have kept going in those places, or if you read up on any of the nations on the watch list from Open Doors, you will know some of those things that they go through. I remember a few years ago at New Wine United, we heard a story of a lady called Hei Woo, who was in North Korea. And she was sharing the story about the fact that she ended up in a prison camp because of her faith. And that her and the other Christians they basically found the smelliest, dirtiest, coldest toilet in the whole place, because that was where the guards wouldn't go. And they would whisper the Bible to each other. They would whisper worship songs because that was the only way they could do it. Yet they kept going. And the most powerful moment for me when we were told about that was the fact that we then sang Amazing Grace in a whisper in a room of, 15,000 people. And it was so powerful. So we cannot imagine what it must be like. So in some ways, we could ask the question, what does this passage say to us here today? You know, we're all right, aren't we? Does it have anything to say to us? Of course it does. All of Scripture has something to say to us. Now, I know, obviously, today is Mothering Sunday, and I'm not going to try and shoehorn Mothering Sunday into this passage, but I just want to bring out the fact that when we think about Mothering Sunday, a lot of it is about the fact that those in service would have gone back to their home. They would have gone back to their mother church. Faith was ingrained in everything, every part of life. And of course, that's a reminder to us, isn't it, of how faith has been part of this nation. But of course, in a nation where faith is so much part of it, there is a danger. There's a danger of being in a society like ours, which has in the past been a Christian society, with most people going to church, with a queen who is head of the established church. The danger is that we're lulled into a false sense of security. And there's also, of course, a danger in the fact that we have so much that we can so easily be distracted away from what matters most. And for that, all of us will be different, won't we? There'll be other things that distract us from what is most important. Of course, what is most important is Jesus. And I wonder, do we live as if Jesus is the most important thing in our lives? That's a question that we probably all, or maybe all, grapple with at various points. Right at the beginning of this series, Rob spoke about four themes which run through this letter. Those are confidence, holiness, dependence, and prayerfulness. And I would say that this week is probably mostly about confidence and dependence, but holiness and prayerfulness are obviously also part of it. And what I want to do this morning is look at three things. And unusually for me, these are three don'ts. But don't worry, it's not going to be quite as negative as that sounds, me going, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Because Peter also, as well as giving us three don'ts, he gives us reasons why and what we need to do in response to that. So really, don't worry, it's not as negative as it might first sound. The first thing is this, is don't be surprised. And of course, that's a reminder, isn't it? That the suffering that we're talking about here is the sort of suffering we face because of being a Christian, because of the name of Jesus. That is what I'm focusing on this morning. And please hear that we've thought about other ways earlier in this series. But here we're talking about suffering because of the name of Jesus, facing persecution, facing insult and things like that. And if we look into the rest of Scripture, we see Jesus saying a number of times that we are to expect to be treated badly because of our faith. We only need to look to the first part of Acts to see that really clearly. the early church being persecuted for their faith. And in our other reading in John 15, Jesus makes it pretty clear that it may well be that the world is going to hate us. Now, I don't know whether you feel like I do, but that is a really hard thing to think about. I don't like it when people hate me. I like to be liked. And when I think about it, I often act in certain ways, or I don't do certain things because I'm afraid of what people might say to me. The number of times I've thought about posting something on social media only to stop myself in case I get a backlash. Or the time when I really felt God challenge me to pray for someone who was a cashier in a supermarket, and I didn't. I bottled out. I wonder whether that's similar for you. But here Peter says why we shouldn't be surprised. That we shouldn't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that we are facing. Interesting phrase, isn't it? The fiery ordeal. Well, of course, that's about being refined. We sing, don't we? Refiner's fire. And somehow this is about becoming more like Jesus, which is good because that's in our tagline, isn't it? We're a community of disciples on an adventure together of becoming more like Jesus and helping others do the same. Almost did it in one breath. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah, there's a prophecy in chapter 13 which says, I will refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. So there is something in all of this about being refined. And we shouldn't be surprised with this. In fact, it's what we should expect. This fiery ordeal and this refining proves the genuineness of our faith. Of course, that's really hard. It's not an easy thing. But it's what Scripture reminds us, so we shouldn't be surprised at it. But I was blown away this week when I started thinking about this a little bit more. Because in this passage, we're reminded that we are suffering with Jesus. And of course, if we are suffering with him, then we're not without him. If we're suffering with Jesus, then Jesus is with us. And if we are with him in the suffering, it means that it's not just his suffering that we are with him in. If I'm suffering with Jesus, then it makes sense that I will also rise with him, and I will be with him in eternity. How often do we focus on just the hard bit of that, the bad stuff? You know, I know that if I get 50 emails and one of them is bad, which one will I focus on? The bad email. I will forget all the others. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to focus in on the one part. But if we suffer with Christ, we will rise with Christ. We will be with him in eternity. And that is good news. And that is why Peter says in this passage, the response to this, to not be surprised, is to rejoice. Because if we are facing these things, it means that we will be part not just of Jesus' suffering, but his glory as well. Verse 13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. That is such good news. We can rejoice about that. I love what the Message says. The Message puts it like this. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Isn't that a good line? Glory just around the corner. What a wonderful image. I wonder whether we live as if glory is just around the corner. And so our attitude should be to rejoice. Not just once, actually. If we look at the language here, it's to rejoice continually. To rejoice because of the privilege of sharing this with Christ. This rejoicing is just a mere glimpse of what is to come. Because we are preparing to rejoice in eternity. And so if we are able to rejoice now, just think what it will be like in glory. The worship that we've joined in with today, as we've sung, as we've met together, that is just a glimpse of what it will be like. Verse 14 in this passage is sort of like a key verse, really, and it says this: if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. I love that picture of the Spirit of God resting on you. A couple of things to bring out there. Firstly, it's a reminder that we are suffering because we are associating with Jesus. And we know, don't we? We can look to the news. We can look all around the place to see how people are treated because of who they associate with. That's what's happening here. But the other thing to bring out is that the Spirit of glory rests on you. The Spirit of God rests on you. Think of Jesus and his baptism when the Spirit of God descended like a dove. The Spirit of God rests on you. No wonder there will be those who will have a go. Curtis challenged us last week to think whether we are being distinctively Christian. And one way we may find that is if we experience insult because we associate with Jesus. Now that isn't easy, but we can rejoice because it's not the end result. The second thing to bring out, the second don't, is this: don't be ashamed. Verse 16 says, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. We've thought about that already this morning. So if you are suffering because of the name of Jesus, don't worry, don't be ashamed. You can be confident. Can you confidently say these words from Romans 1 verse 16? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. If we believe that, we don't need to be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Remind yourself of who Jesus is. Remind yourself of the power of God. Remind yourself of the power of the name of Jesus, whose name you bear. Because the Bible tells us that the name of Jesus, and through the name of Jesus, there is healing. That in the name of Jesus, the enemy will be defeated. In the name of Jesus, people are saved. People are baptized in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And in this passage, it says, you bear his name. Wow. Now, I know Rob has said this before, but the name Christian simply means to be a little Christ. You are a little Christ. And without Christ, well, you're Ian. Apologies to anyone called Ian. It's not my joke, it's Rob's. You bear his name. You bear Jesus' name. We don't need to be ashamed because, well, what a name to bear. What a name to bear. And so the response, instead of shame, says Peter, is to praise God. Praise God because you bear the name of Jesus and because your name is written on his heart. So if you're facing insult because you're a Christian, don't be ashamed, praise God. However, Peter does make it clear that if you're suffering due to sin, or even as the NRV puts it, because you've been meddling, which is not, this is, I blame Matt for this, not because you've won some medals at the Olympics, because you've been meddling, sorry. He whispered that to me and I just couldn't resist sharing it. Not because you've been meddling in whatever sense that is. Because we've been reminded in this passage that all of us will face judgment. And God will start with his household, which of course is us. But the good thing is that because of Jesus, we will be saved. We will be safe. But let's not ignore what this passage says here about that. Finally then, my final don't is this: don't give up. We can be confident because of the future which awaits us, because of the name we will bear. And so therefore we can keep going, even in suffering, because God is our faithful creator. Our final verse says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful creator and continue to do good. Now, a reminder, that isn't continuing to do good so that God will save you. We don't need that. We have grace. We are saved by faith through God's incredible grace. No, this is a continuing to do good, even through the tough times, to show that we have faith in Jesus. And if when we do face persecution for our faith, we can be reminded that this shouldn't be a surprise, then maybe that will help us. Help us to keep going, to have patience, to have faith. We're called in this verse to commit ourselves to our faithful Creator. That's not keeping a little bit for ourselves. That's committing ourselves fully and wholeheartedly to God. Some of you may remember the Beyond the Fringe sketch of a vicar, a preacher. Now, I don't remember the sketch, but I remember my dad doing an impression of the sketch. I can see him doing it. I can hear him doing it. And those words have been etched on my memory ever since. And I will always remember a couple of lines particularly from that. And this may be a paraphrase, so if you know it really well, I apologise. And I'm not going to try and do an impression of a vicar. Oh, because I am one. Oh, well, anyway. I remember this line, and it's this. Life is like a tin of sardines. You're always looking for the key. Yeah, but the bit I really remember is this. And when you find the key and you open the tin and remove the sardines, there's always a little bit left in the corner. That's the bit I really remember. With Jesus, it's about committing all of ourselves to him, even the little bit left in the corner. We are to entrust all of our lives to him. And we do that by doing good. I find it amazing, this passage, because at first glance I think, oh, what's it got to do with me? It makes me realise that there's so much in this passage for us today. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to alarm us, but I do believe that there will be times ahead when we will face suffering for the name of Jesus. So it's important that we get ready for that now, that we exercise our spiritual muscles, that we look up and see what awaits us in eternity, that we look at the path that Jesus has opened up for us, that we follow Jesus' steps, that we're not put off, that we don't give up, that we don't resent God, but we follow his example so that we bring glory to him. So let's rejoice, let's be thankful, and let's do good. Amen.